Well, hi everybody. I'm Beanie Cohn-Ferreros, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beanie Show. And yes, it is so true. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, now more than ever. And for those of you who may be wondering who is Beanie Cohn-Ferreros and what is this Ask Beanie Show really all about, I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist and the author of a groundbreaking book, a book I wish I'd had when I began my own dating and relationship life, for better, for worse, forever. Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And by the way, this is really not a plug for the book, but if you want to be safe and if you really want to find out who your partner is and is not, this is a book that teaches you exactly how to assess who is right for you and who's wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. And, you know, some of my patients used to say to me, you know, Beanie, it's like having you in my wallet or having you in my purse. And by the way, unlike perhaps what the Golden Bachelor and a lot of other dating sites might be telling you, this kind of assessment cannot be done in a week and in 2 weeks, in a month. And in my personal life, people will probably tell you that I'm one of the most impatient people that you will ever want to meet. And when I did my research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, and Connecticut area, I was really upset and really disappointed to find out what my findings actually were in terms of how to do the assessment and how long a really good in-depth assessment took. Well, the reality is that it takes about a year to really find out who somebody is and who somebody is not using my assessment format. Now, obviously, if you are seeing a lot of red flags, and we're going to be talking with my guests about red flags and green lights, you're obviously not going to stay in a relationship for a year. But again, I mean, what we're seeing in the world of relationships, people are so disappointed. And of course, you're very aware, if you've been listening to the show for the last 10 years, I can hardly believe that I've been hosting the Ask Beanie Show here on the Progressive Radio Network for almost 10 years. But we're still looking. We're looking at dismal, dismal divorce statistics. The divorce rate for first marriages is 48%. And I'll ask people all the time, so what do you think? What do you think happens in marriage number two? Well, take a breath. The divorce rate for second marriages happens to be 67%. Okay, we struck out once. We struck out twice. But hopefully for the third and fourth marriage, if you're going to go that route, we're going to see some kinder and gentler statistics. However, the reality is that the divorce rate for third marriages is between 71 and 73%. And what's very, very, very clear, whether or not you're looking to get married or whether or not you're looking to have a serious relationship, there are three things. There are three things that we actually have to do, not think about, not dream about, not read about, but actually put into action. So there's a learning curve here that we need to put into action. And the first thing is that each of us needs to be in a relatively good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically, and we need to be willing to work through our issues as best as we can. We understand we cannot change history. We cannot change anything that's happened even 30 seconds ago. But as I used to tell my daughter, Jordana, she was just thinking about dating. I used to say to her, honey, the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake. We need to be the cake. We need to be solid. We need to have our act together. And if we don't, we, not somebody else, but we are putting ourselves at risk. So whether you need therapy, whether you need coaching, whether or not you need an outside person. And I say this all the time, is that where do we ever think, where do we learn that we need to navigate life's ups and downs on our own? I mean, I'm a competitive tennis player. And when I was playing competitive tennis in Canada, in those days, my dad was my coach. I mean, just look around at professional athletes and entertainers. They have teams and teams of people, support people who are helping them in a variety of ways. So again, we don't need to do this on our own. It is way, way, way too difficult and also completely, completely unnecessary. So number two, yes, we've got to get our act together. Number two, we need to become students of relationship education. We need to learn. We need to be very, very clear about this, what the actual ingredients are that go into a successful relationship. You know, people say, oh, well, communication and trust, but they're more than just words. We need to understand what it means to be a good communicator. And it's not about where are we going to go for dinner tonight. It's much, much more in depth. So again, we have to have clarity about what it is that we are looking for. And number three, again, when I talk about assessment and evaluation, it's not sexy. It's not romantic. It's like, who wants to be talking about assessment and evaluation when we're talking about love? And yet it is critical. It is critical that we not only talk about assessment and evaluation, but that we actually do evaluate and assess. Because when you think about it, we evaluate and assess every single thing in our lives, right? Our phones and our cars and our devices and our lipsticks and our moisturizers. And yet when we think about people, and it's not just in romantic relationships, it's professional relationships and friend relationships and family relationships, including romantic relationships as well. And, you know, people probably get tired of hearing me say this, but I say this routinely. I say this to my patients. I say this on my shows. I say this in my columns. We have to be very, very mindful, and we have to be really, really careful who we let into our lives. And if we're not, we are going to pay some very, very dire, dire consequences. So again, if you're needing a little bit of help in terms of dealing with your, what I call unfinished business or skeletons in the closet, today is the day you can say to yourself, you know, I've let this go for a number of years, but you know, my life, it's not going in the direction where I'd really like it to go. And yes, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach out and ask for help. And any good therapist, and I believe therapists who actually care, will be willing to work with you financially. I always, always have, you know. And if they're saying, you know, no, if they're not willing to negotiate even a small percentage of a fee, I think you're probably not missing anything, and give yourself permission to go out and find somebody who's very, very experienced and who also has a heart and who's willing to actually work with you. Okay, every week, and for those of you who do listen to the Ask BD show every single week, you know that I have this segment, and it is the How Are You Doing segment. It is your weekly check-in, and I think it's really important that we ask ourselves these questions in these particular areas on a regular basis. So beginning with mental health, how is your mental health? I mean, are you generally doing okay despite a lot of the craziness that's going on in the world? I mean, we don't have to look too far to see what's been going on in the Middle East. But if you're finding that most days are just depressing, or you're walking around feeling an enormous amount of anxiety, or you're drinking too much, or you're eating too much, and you know inside you're just not feeling right, The big question then, are you willing to do something? And I have a mantra, and I've been trying to incorporate this mantra into my professional life and into my personal life as well. And the mantra goes something like this. It's about acknowledging and addressing and resolving as best as we can. Nothing is perfect. The past can't be changed. So that we are going to be able to move forward in our lives. So I'm asking you right now, are you willing? Is today the day that you are actually willing to take some personal responsibility, and that is what it is, and be willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve as best as you can the things that continue to get in the way of your life and your relationships? Talking about relationships, how are your relationships? Now, I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. Do you have people? And this is an important question. Do you have people in your life who really care about you and who you really care about and who you really can depend upon? And are your relationships with your family, significant other, if you happen to have one, friends, professional people, are they largely positive? And if you had a crisis today, and I hope your answer is yes, you have somebody that you could actually call who would be there for you. And I also have a very, very strong perspective on toxicity. And for me, and what I try to encourage my patients to do is to ensure that we have zero toxicity in our life. Toxicity is poison. And some people will say, I remember I had a patient who said, well, he only hits me, once a year when he gets drunk and he gets really upset. And I want you to hear this really, really clearly, that a little bit of poison is poison. And you know what happens with poison? Poison will kill us one way or the other. And what about your professional life and financial stability? And again, these are questions you need to ask yourself on a routine basis. And if things are going well, give yourself a real pat on the back and continue doing exactly what you are doing. And if we're talking about substance abuse, taking too many pills, drinking too much, and if you're not sure, I would suggest that you ask somebody who you can really trust and hear what they have to say. Because all of these things, if we are not willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve as best as we can, the things that continue to get in the way of our life, they are going to play havoc. They will play havoc with your life. And what about your physical health? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you eating well enough? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough exercise? These are so important. Self-care. I mean, it is, if we don't take care of ourselves, who is actually going to take care of ourselves? So when asking you these questions, I know how difficult it is, for all of us at times to be fully truthful with ourselves. Yeah, it is our avoidance and denial and blame and self-blame and defensiveness that actually keeps us in a continued downward spiral. And again, it takes a lot of courage to be willing to deal, to acknowledge, address, and resolve. And yet, if we refuse to step up to the plate and confront our demons, old and new, it becomes increasingly more difficult to fully enjoy our lives. So I hope every single week, but I hope today especially, that you've been able to take this in. And I wish we were live in person and then I could see your reactions. And I would hope that there was something that I said that really resonated with you that will actually help to change the trajectory of your life. And of course, you can always call me on the show. The number is 888-874-4888. Well, I am so thrilled. I have two very, very, very special guests today. And I met these two lovely women at a synagogue a number of months ago. And you know how sometimes you just meet people and it's just good. And we really all resonated with each other. And then during the Shabbat dinner, this was in a Chabad synagogue on the Upper East Side in New York City. We started to talk. And of course, I told them that I was a psychotherapist and a sex therapist. And they told me about an amazing venture that they are involved in. So, Julie Griggs, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you are here today. And Julie earned her master's degree in physician assistant studies. And she is the co-founder with Danielle Dietzek, who is also a nurse practitioner of Foreplay. Foreplay. And you're thinking, oh, Beattie, what are you talking about? Foreplay. Because Beattie, who uses, puts on the sex therapy hat, talks about, yes, it's important to have between 15 and 20 minutes of foreplay before most women are ready to, you know, enjoy and be ready fully to have intercourse. And we talk about a lot about emotional foreplay, but this is a different kind of foreplay. This is a business. This is a dating business that is operating in a very, very unique way. So welcome, Julie and Danielle. And I want everybody to hear and to learn about your very innovative and unique business, Foreplay. So you're on.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It is such a pleasure to be here. And Julie, do you want to say a little bit about Foreplay?
Sure. So thank you so much for having us. It was very serendipitous how it all happened, that we just so happened to be seated next to each other at the dinner. And it was such a natural conversation. And it's funny how life works, because going into the night, Danielle and I said, we're not talking any business tonight. We're not talking about foreplay at all tonight. And then we sit down next to you and it was just all foreplay. So Foreplay Social is a new app where single friends team up and then match with other pairs of single friends. And our mission is to create a healthier experience for singles, physically, mentally, and socially, by allowing single friends to experience dating together. And so Danielle and I are two healthcare providers, and we infuse our expertise and training in primary care and our passion for community health and safety into our brand.
So let me ask you this. Let's say I was single, all right? And I have been very lucky. I have a great husband, Jim, who you also met that evening. But let's say I'm single and I am wanting to become a part of Foreplay. What would be the very first thing that I would have to do actually to become a part of this process of being able to then meet other single people that hopefully I'd be able to connect with?
Well, the great news is there's not a lot that you need to do. You just need to have another single friend who would be willing to go on double dates with you. So the first thing you would do, because the app is free, it's an app from the App Store and it's free. And so you don't need to be in any monetary position. You just need to have another single friend who you would like to go on a double date with. And so you would reach out to a friend and you would ask them if they want to team up on Foreplay, which is our app. You would create your account and then you would ask them to join. They would create their account and then you would team up on the app and you could make a team profile together with that person.
Okay. And would I be able, let's say at some point, if I wasn't crazy about my teammate, could I change my teammate?
Absolutely. So okay. You can have an unlimited number of teams also. So not only can you change your teammate if you're not crazy about that teammate, but for certain occasions, you might want to be going on double dates with different friends. So I can have a team with my friend Julie, who lives locally in my city. But if I'm visiting Boston for the weekend to see my friend in Boston, and she and I would like to go on double dates together, I can also create a team with that friend.
So let me ask you this. So the team then, if we're talking about heterosexual a heterosexual team. I mean, we can also talk about a gay team, we can talk about a trans team, but just using this as an example. So would my teammate then need to be a man? Or would it be okay enough and helpful enough in the process if I brought along my girlfriend as a teammate?
So the technology itself just requires two friends. However, if you want to have a good experience on the app, I would say that the most common use case currently on our app is two heterosexual friends who are the same sex and gender to match with people who are the opposite sex and gender, who are also teammates of the same sex and gender.
Okay, so then how would this work? So I'm on the app with my girlfriend. Okay, we want to meet two really terrific guys. Now, how is this going to work? How does this matching process then work?
Julie, do you want to talk a little bit about how the matching works?
Yeah, so I think it's important to understand what we're trying to create with Foreplay in order to understand why we have gone about it the way that we have. So Danielle and I, we are in our early 30s. We have over a decade of experience on the dating apps between us, and it's terrible, and it's not fun, and it's a lot of pressure. And we feel, as single women, that we are being robbed and have been robbed of this natural way that singles used to meet. You used to go to the bar, you used to go to a social club, and you used to meet people in real life and see them as a person, not as a picture, mm-hmm. and smell the pheromones and have a connection, and then you'd go out romantically. And so on Foreplay, our goal is to connect singles with one another. And so if Danielle and I are interested in matching with two men, and two men see me and Danielle and they're interested in matching with us, when we each like each other, it creates a group chat on the app where the four people can talk as a group of four and plan to go out on a double date.
Now, so, and you can also see each other. So there's a video component to this as well. So your girlfriend, the two of you, you're on the app, and how do you actually find the two men who you would like to chat with and like, and then hopefully meet? How does that work?
So the app pulls up options for you. And so you basically put in what your preferences are as a team. And then the app will generate a deck. We call it a deck. And in that deck, you can go through a number of teams that match your preferences. And so when you look at that team, not only can you see their photos, you can also read a little bit about who they are. And what we think is very special about Foreplay is that you're not only reading about this person as an individual and that person as an individual, but who they are as friends, who they are as dynamic human beings. Mm-hmm. And the way that we allow people to showcase that is by giving them prompts. So some of our prompts include, the we could never live together because. And then those two friends make some sort of funny response, or not always funny, maybe they take it seriously, as to why they couldn't live together. And in doing so, it creates this ability for them to showcase who they are in a dynamic way. So we can go through their profiles, we can see if we're interested in going out with those two friends, and we can say yes, or we can say no, and move on to the next profile.
So are the profiles, before you get to a point where you're actually chatting, meeting, on video, are the profiles very in depth? So that there's a lot of really important, not just kind of chit-chat, cute information, but substantial information, as much as there can be, so that you get an idea beforehand.
Yeah. Yes. So each user, we call, each person that joins individually has their own profile within the team profile. So your own individual profile is an opportunity for you to share more about who you are. So education, if you want to share it, social habits, do you drink, do you smoke cigarettes, do you smoke marijuana, what do you do for a living, if you're working. And so there's an opportunity to share more about you with what we call stats. And then there's also a free text where it says a little bit about me. And it's an open-ended opportunity for the person to share about who they are. That is the individual profile. And the team profile is then more so about the dynamic of the two people and who they are as friends or who they are as cousins or who they are as brother and sister, whatever the case may be. And so when you're looking at teams, you're seeing the team profile and you're getting a feel for who these people are together. But then within the team profile, you can click into the individuals and learn more about them.
Have you found that the other team, let's say, or even the individuals are actually interested in the dynamic that goes on within the teams? Do they care?
Yes.
They do. Say more about that.
Definitely. They definitely care. Well, first I will say that we are users of our own product. So I can tell you from a user's perspective, I certainly do care when I'm going through the profiles and I notice that people are showing us who they are with one another. To me, that's interesting at least. And I also think that you know, you can see how much fun people have with it. It's not like there are so many blank profiles where people don't fill out these prompts. You could tell that people really do want to answer this stuff. And I think that if they're interested in saying it about themselves, it must be because they're interested in also hearing what other people have to say.
I will also say, you know, relating it back to your work and your book and how, you know, your philosophy that takes a year to get to know somebody and being able to see people in different contexts. And I will say that when I went out on, I was set up with somebody last week and I went on a date with him. And when I was telling him about foreplay, he said, I think it's a genius idea because you really are your authentic self when you're with a friend. And he said, I feel like the fastest way for me to see who a woman really is to see what she is like when her friend is there too and how the two interact with each other and what the dynamic is there. And you know, it's harder to fake who you are when there's someone who actually knows you on the date to hold you accountable. And so people really like this dynamic that happens between friends that they're able to see early on, because typically with dating, it's a big deal when you meet somebody's friends. It means that things are getting really serious.
Right. So let me ask you, in your own experience, since you are on your app, how's it going? I want to know, have you met anybody, you know, special enough that you went out with and that you would like to maybe go out with again?
Yeah, I think what's so wonderful about foreplay, this kind of foreplay, is that there are infinite outcomes to a date. And so, you know, I think the first thing that most people think of when they ask about a success story is exactly what you just asked. Has there been a second date? Have you broken off and had any romantic relationships with people? But I think that we also find success in any sort of relationship that is built from a foreplay date, whether you make friends with the two guys that you go out with, whether you connect with one another professionally afterwards, or whether there's a romantic connection afterwards. Any of those things would be considered success for us. And we've had all three. So we've made friends from our foreplay dates. We also found two very good professional friends from foreplay who helped us make our first hire when we hired our first employee. And then lastly, yes, there has been a romantic outcome from foreplay. Although Julie, my co-founder, is not still dating the person she met on foreplay. We did have two foreplay dates with these two men who Julie later wound up dating one of them.
So let me ask you this. So do you continue then to see the two other people, whoever the two other people are, as a foursome? Or do you break out, and when and if does it become a one-on-one date?
Mm-hmm. I've personally heard stories from our users that it can break off that very night. You know, people might go on their foreplay date, but then if two people are really hitting it off, they might go out afterwards and get another drink, just the two of them. But like I said previously, we've also had the experience where we go on a foreplay date, and then we go on a second foreplay date with those same two people. Okay. And I think that's more of a slow burn scenario where we're not really sure on the first date who is vibing with who and is there chemistry with anybody, but we know that we're all willing to go out together again as four single people.
So what happens hypothetically if the two of you are attracted to and interested in the same guy?
I love this question. Everybody asks this question. And I really would say, and it's not a cop out of an answer, but I really would say that it's no different than if you and a single friend go out to the bar and you approach two single men at the bar. This is not a unique scenario where two single friends are flirting with two single friends. And I guess my answer to what happens is you kind of just figure it out, and you're most likely not going to go on a double date if you're not comfortable with the situation of being two single women and two single men and not knowing, you know, the outcome right away.
Right. So another, I think, really very important question is, how do people find out about you? Had I not met you with my husband at the Chabad synagogue, I never would have known about foreplay, your kind of foreplay.
Okay. You knew about the other time.
I knew about the other, right, exactly. So how do people actually, I mean, you're going to be doing shows like this, and you're going to take this show, and you're going to have somebody put it all out there. But really, currently, how do people find you?
So we've never had a super large budget to work with. We bootstrapped, meaning we self-funded the business while we worked in healthcare. And so before we took investor money. And so we never had a big budget. So we had to get creative with how we were going to reach people. And we found really that TikTok and Instagram and Danielle and I creating our own content about being single friends that was relatable content started to go viral, and it started to really gain traction. And then we started to reach out to our users and ask our users, are you interested in making content about your foreplay experience, and we'll pay you to do it? And then their content started going viral. And so this flywheel of user acquisition resulted in the majority of foreplay users now are, you know, Gen Z and millennial singles. They're mostly 18 to 34. Uh-huh. And so we continue to find them by using these channels. So it's right now pretty much TikTok and Instagram, surprisingly.
So, I mean, you are unique also in that you're saying that people aren't paying. Why are they not paying, you know, at least something in order to be able to use the app and make use of what I think sounds like a really valuable experience?
Right. So I'll be honest that the reason now that people aren't paying is because we haven't reached the point in our business yet where we would feel comfortable charging people for the experience. We know that the large majority of people will have a good experience, but that people who might be more edge cases, you know, they might be, they might have a team on our app where it's a man and a woman, or they might have a sexuality that's not as common as the majority of the app. We know that if those people pay for our app, it's not necessarily fair if the app won't yield the results that they're looking for. And so we feel we have to grow big enough before we are willing to charge our users and make it fair for everybody. And we really feel that we need to get more users for those edge cases. But even when we do start monetizing, we feel very strongly that it should be inexpensive. You know, we have users paying an arm and a leg to have an experience that is really what everybody should have. Dating with your friend, having a social single life is not something you should have to pay a lot for.
You know, isn't this interesting? I mean, here we are, you know, in this country and in so many countries around the world where, you know, Jim and I talk about this all the time, where there is no end to the greed. And, you know, this is where, you know, what I was saying previously about a good and lovely human being as a therapist would be willing and should be willing, I believe, you know, to adjust the fee, work on a sliding scale. And it's so refreshing. I mean, you're running a business. So, yeah, I mean, this is important that you're going to be making some money. But I love the attitude. It's just nice because you're right. I mean, just prior to your, you know, arriving here today, I was talking to a woman, and I cannot mention her name, who charges over $100,000 a year for a matchmaking service out of California. Okay. And there was somebody that I knew, an older woman who actually was, she just turned 80, and we'll talk about the Golden Bachelor in a moment, where money was absolutely not an issue for this 80-year-old woman. And I was actually just shocked because I knew the matchmaker from California and I know the woman from New York City, and I thought this could be an interesting match of some sort. And but the number was just, I mean, I couldn't relate to the number at all. I mean, over $100,000. And she was saying that some people pay $150,000. And I'm going to be talking with this woman and maybe even interviewing her on my show to find out what exactly goes on.
Right. You know, yes.
If somebody is paying $150,000 and this 80-year-old woman, where money was no object, I mean, she was just aghast. And as it turned out, the matchmaker did not feel she would be able to find a suitable match for the 80-year-old woman under any circumstances at all. So she was telling me that her publicist was actually in the process of writing a nice letter saying, I'm sorry, you know, we can't accept you. But with your foreplay, you're saying that the users are between 18 and 35, and the feedback that you're getting from them about this very unique model is what? Because it's different than Match.com and some of these other dating sites.
They love that. Well, first I'll say that there's different feedback from men and women.
Ah, okay.
So women have given us so much feedback about feeling safer.
Yeah.
Feeling safer on the first date. And it's sad to say, but men actually don't recognize at first. It doesn't register to them why the app is safer, because it's not something that they ever have to think about with other dating apps. So often when we tell men that it's safer for women, they kind of scratch their heads and they say, why? And we have to explain to them, because when you're a woman and you meet up with a man on your own, you're vulnerable. And so we've had a lot of women say to us, thank you so much for making this product. I usually have to share my location on my phone with my friend, or I ask my friend to come to the bar and spy on my date to make sure that I'm okay, because this is the modern age of dating where you really are meeting up with a complete stranger.
Absolutely.
These days.
Yeah.
You weren't necessarily introduced to them, or you didn't meet them at the coffee shop. They're a complete stranger that you met
right.
on a dating app.
Right.
So women would say the safety piece, and men will often say that it's just more fun. You know, with men, it's not always necessarily fun for them to go out and treat a woman to a date and there be no, you know, there's no outcome other than perhaps him never hearing from her again in the
right.
in the modern age of ghosting.
Right.
And so it at least makes it more worth it for them to go out on a date when it's also a night out with their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so feedback we've gotten from men is, it's a great night out with my friend, when whether or not anything happens with the women, we can still go out after me and my friend, and we can share a beer, and we shared those experiences, made those memories together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing when I think about when, you know, I was dating. I mean, it's a whole new world. Who would have ever dreamed that people, and it's the majority of people now, are meeting online? And what I'm hearing more and more is, because of this, people don't go anywhere. I'm treating a couple of young men from Chicago, and of course on Zoom. I mean, Chicago's a big city, and they don't go anywhere. One works from home, so he's completely isolated. The other one doesn't, but they're on their devices, and they occasionally will go on the dating sites. But the idea, and you know, it makes me feel like, gee, I'm from another era. I said, well, maybe you should go to a lecture, or maybe you should go to the museum. And when I make these kinds of suggestions to a lot of people, it seems very weird and foreign, and it's like, I don't think so. And, you know, when I had this therapy conversation with one of the young men from Chicago, I was asking him about sex. He's had, you know, some issues. I think he's on the spectrum. And I said, so, you know, how are you doing in terms of, you know, dealing with, you know, your sexual feelings? You're not with anybody. You really haven't dated. And his answer was just, it was like the most obvious thing that one could have thought about. Well, he's on the porn sites. Mm. So of course. And so what I'm hearing more and more, people are on the dating sites or on the porn sites. It's like, you know, soon, when are we ever going to get out of our houses and our apartments and say hello to people, just hello. And you never quite know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. But again, given the new reality, I mean, this, your foreplay, I mean, it sounds very, very, very interesting. I mean, it's certainly unique, and I am hoping that this is going to be something that will be available to people around the country. I mean, yeah, that's right. The ideal, yes. Right?
And people of all age groups, hopefully. You know, we're building a company.
Yes.
So we're building it by certain demographics at a time,
right,
so that we can build density for certain people to date other people that
right.
match their preferences. But
right.
the goal is for all kinds of single people to benefit from this kind of dating.
Right, right. Where it will be the foursome. It
right.
will be the two, and it will be the two. And for people to be able to find out a lot more about you, your website or is what?
So our website is foreplay, spelled foreplay, social.com.
Okay, that's great. So everybody, if you're interested in something new and unique, and if you've been reluctant because of safety issues or any other kinds of issues, I mean, this really does build in a sense of security. Well, before the show today, we started to talk about the Golden Bachelor, and I told you that I was ghosted by a reporter from one of the major newspapers in the country. And I was so curious about the show, and I watched every single episode, and there was something about Gary Turner that bothered me from the beginning. You know,
really?
It was, yes, it was an instinct. It was almost too much, too good, too much crying,
ooh,
too empathic, too, too.
Ooh.
And that was my instinct. And the women, I love the fact that the women, you know, put themselves out there. I mean, whether or not they were looking, you know, for their moments of fame on national TV, you know, who knows? But it was nice that the demographic was not the typical 20, 30-year-old, you know, bachelor
yes.
Demographics. However, what happened the day of the final rose, there was a story in the Hollywood Reporter that found out that Gary Turner lied. About it wasn't that he misrepresented, we could be very politically correct and talk about his misrepresentation, but that he lied about a number of things. He said that he hadn't had a date in 45 years. Well, the fact was, 2 months after his wife died, no judgment, nothing like that, he was dating. He also lived with a woman for a year and a half and had had some other relationships. And his comments this morning were really interesting because he thought on national TV that there was not going to be someone, if he was, you know, really just misrepresenting himself and lying about a number of very, very believable kinds of things, that he was not going to get found. So his retort today was, well, it depends how you define relationships. It was like, really?
Oh, wow.
Really? The other thing that was very concerning about the woman who was vetted by the Hollywood Reporter is that it was a pretty somewhat abusive relationship, and not physical, but that he was shaming this woman. She gained some weight, and therefore he didn't want to take her to his high school reunion. He also talked about retiring from his restaurant business in 1985. That was not true. And what was also very, very interesting is that some of the jobs that he had is that he was a maintenance man. Now, I don't have any problems with people who are doing maintenance work, but there was a disconnect. And this disconnect has been coming out every single day more and more and more. And the reason why I reached out to all the reporters, it was not to promote the book, but I am very, very concerned about Teresa, the woman who he is supposed to be marrying on January the 4th. So, ladies, comment. What are you thinking? You've watched this.
I don't know where to begin.
Well, begin. we've got 13 minutes, so begin.
Well, first, aside from Gary, I will say, I thought that this season was so wonderful because I really enjoyed watching women of that age get a second chance. And I thought that the women were so supportive of one another. Something that I don't see on the regular Bachelor.
Right.
And if we had more time, I would want to dive into that and get your therapy point of view on why women who are older are more supportive of one another than women who are younger. But when taking it back to the Gary stuff, this is news to me. I only found this out like yesterday or the day before, and I haven't had a chance to properly vet it myself. But if it's true, it's scary how a person can be so misleading, quite frankly, because I'm not a therapist and I was just watching as an average woman. And I thought that he seemed extremely empathetic. I thought that he seemed like a really caring, charismatic person. So it's actually frightening if this is true that somebody could be so deceptive.
Yeah. Well, this is the point, my friends. Okay. I'm a bit older than you. All right. And prior to my work as a therapist, prior to my work, doing my research and books and all of that, I used to be a very spontaneous person. And I would make a comment like this. I'd say, I met this lovely woman. I met this lovely man. I met someone who I think is great. I would never make that kind of a statement today. You know, my husband, Jim, he says, do you ever let go of your formula? And I think the formula has become a part of me. It keeps me safe. And the best I could do is say that I've met someone who appears to be lovely and great and honest and trustworthy. And in this particular situation, I mean, it appears that Teresa knew nothing about him. And that is scary. And from what I've read, she's the one that has some money. And as I said, I'm very concerned for her and for millions of women around the world who are not doing their homework. And this process, I mean, just, okay, it was filmed. It was filmed in various different places, in L.A., It does take about a year to go through the different seasons to talk about all kinds of different things. And again, I'm not critiquing the fact that Gary, after his wife died, started to date 2 months later, but it did not resonate with anything that he said. And it just did not, the whole story did not add up. And I don't believe that you could be madly in love with two people exactly at the same time. And I think that he did really, really shaft this Leslie. And I had a feeling that he was going to actually choose this Teresa. And I felt that there were some issues that were not brought up. She was Jewish. She was divorced. I mean, there were things that I felt that was going to be a real disconnect, for him and his Indiana background and family, and all of that. But the process, whether it's foreplay or anything else, of getting to know each other in a significant way. Now, I think if I had to bet, and I guess we're going to find out in January and see what you two think, I think this wedding is going to take place.
I definitely bet.
It's going to be an ABC extravaganza. Mm. I mean, millions, they've never had as many people watching, the Bachelor series. And there's a lot of money on the line. From all kinds of people and businesses, right?
Right.
I think this wedding is going to go through. And I think that it is going to have a very unfortunate ending for Teresa.
Well, hopefully she has a prenup.
Exactly. I wish there was a way, and I have to find a way to reach her. In fact, I actually reached out to Leslie. I did. Really? Yes, I did. Because I was very upset about this whole, there was something again throughout that really bothered me.
Yeah.
And then finding all this out, I mean, it was hours before. Mm-hmm. Now, did ABC, did they know? We don't know. I mean, they were supposedly, you know, really doing an in-depth vetting job. They talked about, or he talked about, you know, there was a psychological assessment of, you know, 365 questions. But clearly, somebody made a decision, whether it was ABC or whether or not Gary thought he could get away with it. I mean, how could he possibly have thought? But this old girlfriend, she had a lot of guts. And she spoke out.
I find it interesting that you knew right away because Danielle and I, we are, I mean, I think you are too, but Danielle and I are empaths to a fault. And so when I can speak for myself, my dating track record before foreplay was not great because I give everyone the benefit of the doubt and make excuses why things are the way they are. And then eventually a few months in, get Danielle's perspective or our other friend Lindsay's perspective. And it's, yeah, you're making excuses and they're really not as great as you think that they are. And it's not a good fit for you. Whereas with foreplay, we go on dates together and it's like, I have her vetting them with me. And she, like when I had a, you know, a short relationship after one of our foreplay dates and she could vet and say, no, he really is a really nice guy. He is a good fit for you and you should pursue that. And it's interesting to me that in this house of women, I wonder if there was any other woman in that house who also had some, you know, sirens going, alarm bells.
Well, I mean, again, you know, there are a lot of unknowns. And I would think that with this group that there would be some, you know, pretty savvy people. But remember, too, it was a show. It is a show. This is show business. I mean, I've been very, very lucky. I mean, I've done hundreds and hundreds of local and national television shows where I was able to be me. Nobody ever said, you can't say this or you have to do this. It was never that. So I was never part of a show. I mean, I was even on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and doing a spoof with Samantha Bee about penis pumps, you know, talking about foreplay. But nobody ever said, you know, do this. But there was something, I don't know, it was like too good to be true, too much. There was too much emotionality. It was over the top. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, what were all these emotions and feelings all about? He didn't even really know these people. And so, I mean, I could have been wrong. Again, even for me to do an assessment, I have to play out the points of the match, and it's not going to take a week to do. But, you know, I wonder for so many women, and I don't know how many people have been really following the backstory here, which is he lied. I mean, over and over and over again.
Yeah, and this is not the first time that this has happened on The Bachelor. This is not the first time. There have been
previous Bachelors where they did go. They did get married. They did get married after, and then something would come out afterwards. There are people who have gone on the show who went on the show in a relationship and thought that they could get away with going on the show in a relationship because, let's say, they auditioned before they were in that relationship. They had already committed to the show. They had already said yes, and they figured, okay, I'll just do it. I'll just do it and nobody will find out that I am in a relationship now. So it's not the first time this has happened. And it does make me question how much ABC, how much does production actually know?
Right.
Is it just the show must go on?
Right. Well, one of the things that I've been trying to do, because I know some of the producers and Sunny Hostin on The View, I've been trying to reach people. And I have not been fortunate yet. And this reporter who was supposed to have interviewed me at 1:30 today in New York, you know, time, for some reason, unless he had a crisis, he ghosted me. And so I'm not sure, because there's been no commentary. There's been no professional, you know, psychological commentary and analysis from any other therapist or anybody. And I'm the one who, I want people to know the truth. My sort of role, whether it's the show or anything else that I do professionally, is to educate and empower people and keep people safe. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's why I do, you know, what I do. I mean, this is why you're doing what you're doing, you know, with foreplay. So it's going to be very interesting to see if anything at all plays out. But I do think this wedding is going to happen. I am going to try to reach Teresa, but I'm not so sure that she's going to be open. I mean, he, when his, you know, commentary today was, well, it depends how you define relationships. I never had a relationship. Well, maybe it was a relationship, you know, in the way that he defined it. So very interesting. But whether or not it's foreplay or match.com or The Bachelor, professionally, personally, we really have to be very careful who we let into our lives. And I know that people who, you know, been listening to me for all these years are probably sick of hearing about my formula. But again, it's not about me. It's not about my book. It is about how careful and conscious and honest we need to be if we're going to protect ourselves. And that's the bottom line, because it's really not about the other person. It's about who we agree and enable to allow into our lives. And we better be smart as women. Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
I would love to know if Leslie got time with you, the advice or the feedback you would give Leslie after that season.
I wrote her. I told her she was the luckiest woman in the world to not end up with this guy.
Wow.
And hopefully we're going to connect. I would love to be able to connect with her. Well, everybody in New York and everywhere around the world, it is 3:57 New York City time. I cannot believe how quickly the time has gone. I am thrilled, 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 Julie Griggs and Danielle Cizik, to have had the two of you on. And I really, really, I love the concept. And I wish you both the very, very best. And hopefully lots of people are going to fall in love, and that the world is going to be a more loving and better place, an easier place to live than it's been, certainly in the last little while. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it means the world to us that you are vetting what we have created. We might even need to add you to our pitch deck.
I'm in. Well, I want to leave everybody with my two weekly messages. In the first, you know, apropos everything we're talking about, is that we need to do everything possible to be living our lives in ways that are in our best interest. And that means education and empowerment, if we're going to keep ourselves mentally, physically, and in every other way safe. And of course, secondly, we all need to do a much, 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 much better job in learning to love each other and accept each other's differences. So again, thank you very much. Thank you, my producers at the Progressive Radio Network. You make my life very, very, very wonderful and easy every week when I do the show. And we're going to end the show with the same music that we began. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. So goodbye, everybody. Talk with you next week. Take care. Have a good day. Have a good week. Bye-bye.